This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah. Amen. Please do not sit still standing. You're going to announce my title to five people. But before we do that, let's read the scripture. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Numbers chapter 27, verse 6 to 7. NIV translation, I read. And the Lord said to him, "What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and give their father's inheritance to them." Then Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness in our spirit that we are children of God." You're going to reach out to five people on my behalf, announce to them, "I don't have daddy issues. I don't have daddy issues." Amen. Glory to God. We've seen the word of God saying to us that we are led, when we are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen. Now, I want to begin by making this statement. God did not bring us into a relationship with himself so that we can try to please him. Rather, he brought us into a relationship with himself because he is already pleased with us. So he brought us into a relationship with himself because he is already pleased with us. God did not bring us into a relationship with himself so that we can start performing to please him. Rather, the reason we are in relationship with God in the first place is because we are already accepted in the beloved. That is why we are actually in a relationship with him. When you hire someone to do a work for you, you are hiring them to please you by doing the work you have hired them for. When you hire someone to do a work, you are hiring them to please you by doing the work you've hired them for. But your children are not like that. When your children who are in your house, who you gave birth to, they are not like that. They came into your house, they came into your life, not to please you, but you are to please them. You didn't hire your children to please you. Rather, you gave birth to them to please them. That is how it is. When you hire someone, you hire them to please you by doing the work or the job you've hired them for. Your children is not like that. Your children, you gave birth to them so that you can please them. You gave birth to them. You did not hire them to please them. So it is your responsibility as a parent to take care of your children. That is, when you are employed in an office, rather, you are employed to work there to deliver results. That is why your organization has employed you. The organization employed you to please the organization because you have been hired to please that organization. But listen, friends, as far as salvation is concerned, we have not been saved to deliver at the job called salvation. You have been hired to deliver at the job of the organization we have hired, you have given to you. You've been hired to deliver at the job. But for salvation, we have not been saved to deliver at the job called salvation. Rather, we receive what salvation has delivered to us. And I pray for you, receive all that salvation has delivered in the name of Jesus. I say receive it in the name of Jesus. God did not bring us into a relationship and now tells us to please him if we can. He didn't bring us into a relationship and now tells us to please him if we can. God brought you and I into a relationship with himself. Why? Because he is already pleased with us. The reason why we're in a relationship with God is because he is already pleased with us. If he is not pleased with us, you and I will never have been in a relationship with him. The first, when you look at the two descriptions I've given, the first one being a servant hired to do a job to please the master. The second one, children born into a family, and the one who gave birth to them pleases them. The first one is a description of servitude. The other one is a description of sonship. Child of God, you are a son, you are not a servant. Give the Lord your praise this morning if you believe that. You are born into God. You have not been hired into God. Sons have access, servants don't. Sons have access, servants don't. Before Jesus died and was resurrected, we as humans, we didn't have access to God. That was why there needed to be a protocol to come into his presence. You know, there needed to be, you will have the priest who goes into the holy of holy, and all of those holy, 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 before they could get to God. But when Jesus came, because God was pleased with the sacrifice of Christ, you and I have access. If God was not pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus, we would never have been in a relationship with him in the first place. So we are not in the relationship with God to please God. We are in relationship with God because he's already pleased with us. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So Jesus died after resurrection of Christ. We all are now sons, and as sons, we have access to our Heavenly Father. Servants ask before they can gain access into the presence of their master. But children don't ask before they gain access into the presence of their father or mother. Children know they have access at all times. Haven't you noticed you're doing something, your child just barges in. You're in the bedroom, the child just barges in. If the child even manages to have small decency, it will just knock, and the knock is go, they move in. Just, boom, they move in. So in the event where you're asking them, why didn't you knock? They say, but I knocked. Like they're wondering, why are you asking me? But a servant is not like that. A servant knocks first and waits for a response for you to say, now come in, before they come in. But child of God, you and I don't need to knock again to wait to hear a response. Access has been given through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You are not a servant, you are a son. How many sons do I have in the house this morning? How many children of God do I have in the house this morning? Give the Lord your praise if you believe you're a son. Celebrate the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Children know that they have access. They know that actually when you lock the door, children are shocked that you're locking the door. Why are you locking the door? Why are you locking me out? Amen. Because they believe that they have access to the house. Many come to God with a servant mentality. So they are careful, they are tiptoeing in the presence of their father. Why? Because someone has told them that they are a servant. Sons don't tiptoe in the presence of their father. Sons don't tiptoe. The Bible actually tells us to come boldly. Hebrews 40, chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. That is, if it is mercy you are looking for, still come boldly. If it is grace you require for help, still come boldly. That is to say, no matter what you're looking for, come boldly, because access has been given to you. I pray for you as your amen will thunder. Receive grace you require for every help in the name of Jesus. For the help you need in this season, receive grace in the name of Jesus. Let mercy speak for you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, boldness to come into the throne of grace is a revelation of sonship. It means you know that you are a son. You now know that you are a son. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of the adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Thunder after me. I am a son. I am not a servant. Say amen. Sons have access. Servants don't. And that was the challenge with the elder brother of the prodigal son. He didn't know that he was a son. He had a servant mentality, even though he was in the house of his father. How do I know that? When you listen to his statement, he said to his father, I have served you. I have slaved away all this while. You didn't give me anything to go and celebrate with. Why? Because he fellowship with his father as a servant. Actually, the Bible called the younger brother prodigal son. Even though he was prodigal, he was still a son. Oh, you didn't hear me. Even though the Bible didn't call him prodigal servant, the Bible called him prodigal son. That is, even though he was prodigal, he was still a son. His prodigality, if there's any English like that, if there's not, put it in your dictionary. His prodigality did not erase out his sonship. He's still a son. He's still a son. He is still a son. Hear me, friends. A responsible father, a responsible servant, rather, is not as powerful as an irresponsible son. A son has inheritance. A servant has wages. DNA cannot be canceled out by distance. So he is prodigal, but he's still a son. He's still a son. He is still a son. He is still a son. Listen, friends, as a son, you have inheritance. You are not a servant. Servants are paid wages. Sons have inheritance. Your heavenly father doesn't pay wages. He gives inheritance. He gives inheritance. I prophesy to you, receive your inheritance in the name of Jesus. I say, receive your inheritance in the name of Jesus. You are a son. You're not a servant. You are a son. You're not a servant. You are a son. You're not a servant. Look at this scenario. Moses was a very faithful servant. But when he got to the burning bush, he was asked to pull his shoes. But when the prodigal son came to his father, he was asked to wear his shoes. Moses, as faithful as he was, he arrived in the presence of the father. Ask your pull issue, because in the old covenant, they were not sons, they were servants. When the prodigal son arrived, they gave him everything and asked him, wear your shoes. Wear your shoes. Wear your shoes. He is prodigal, but still a son. Why? I repeat, distance does not dissolve DNA. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:18-19 tells us, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled. You may be filled with all the fullness of God. We cannot run out of God's love. Why? Because we are sons. Your children never run out of your love. Your children can never run out of your love. Why? Because they are your children. If earthly parents can never run out of love in giving to their children, how much more our Heavenly Father? The child was born in manger. But listen, the son was given on the cross. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He was given on the cross as a son, but a child was born in the manger. What was given to us as believers was not childhood. It is sonship. Sonship has been given to you as a believer. Sonship has been given to you as a believer. You need to know that. Sonship has been given to you as a believer. You don't grow into sonship. You grow as sons. Sonship is not a level in your Christian walk. I preach that. Forgive me. It's limited knowledge. In parts we know. But as we keep growing in faith and studying, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we keep knowing more. If I tell you I know everything, then amongst all men, I'm the most foolish. I don't know everything. I'm still learning. And in my learning, I've come to discover that you don't grow into sonship. You grow as sons. Sonship is not a level in your Christian walk. Sonship is you growing into that understanding in your walk with your Father. Over the years, it had looked like, you know, when you get born again, you become a child, then you now grow into sonship. Listen, at the point of salvation, what came inside of you is sonship. God didn't sow his only son to come and reap harvest of servants. Romans 8:15, it said, for you did not receive, did you see that? You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit of sonship was what was released inside of us at the point of regeneration. The spirit of sonship was what was released, not the spirit of childhood. The spirit of sonship. Lift your voice, thunder after me. I am a son. And for anyone who is a feminist, you're saying, but you know, okay, thunder, I am a daughter for the women. Amen. No, there's not. Amen. Hallelujah. Your heavenly Father is well pleased with you. You're a son. You're a son. We have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Your heavenly Father is well pleased with you. Why? Because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He cannot love you more, neither can he love you less. Your identity comes from his reckless, never-ending love, which is in Christ Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Please give Jesus your praise. Now listen to this. Romans 8. Let me show you something quickly. Let's read it together. Actually, let's read it together. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, 15, TPT translation. Thank you. It's on the screen. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. Stop there. That has been the battle. Many believers are walking around with the fear of, I'm not good enough. And as a result, they cannot receive. They cannot receive. So he said, what you receive is not a spirit of religious duty that leads you back into the fear of never being good enough. He now continues and said, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection. Beloved Father. Thunder, I am fully accepted. Thunder, I am fully accepted. God is not tolerating you. He is celebrating you. In Christ, you are not being tolerated. You are being fully accepted. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Please give him praise. You are fully accepted. You are not tolerated. Jesus has fully accepted you and I. Listen, friends, Jesus is the prototype son of the believer, or Jesus is the prototype of the believer. What did Jesus call God? Father. What should you and I call God? Father. Listen, there is no problem with every other name we call God. I still do that. There's no problem. But I want you to understand that nothing is as intimate as Father. He is your father, you are his son. He said, they put that same scripture back. He said there that, you know, that's put it back for me. He said that, for as he rises up within us, our spirit joined him in saying the words of tender affection. Tender affection. Tender affection. Beloved Father. Beloved Father. So nothing is as intimate as Father. The King is your Father. Yes, you call him King of Kings, but I want you to know that the King of Kings is your Father. You have a relationship with that King. You have access to that King. You are not a subject of that King. That King of Kings is your Father. That Uyinkosi, Amakosi is your Father. That bridge over many waters is your Father. That monarch of the universe is your Father. Hayanamara, give the Lord your praise this morning. He is your Father. He's my Father. The King of Kings is my Father. I am not the subject of the King of Kings. I am the child, the son of the King of Kings. You are the son of that King. You have not been adopted into servanthood. You have been adopted into sonship. Ah. So Jesus is a prototype of the believer. For example, when a car company makes a car, they produce the first one and run it through all the quality assurance tests, all the necessary tests. Once it passes through all the tests, they now mass produce after its kind. They run it through all kinds of tests. And after it passes through the quality assurance test, they must produce. Jesus is the prototype son of the believer. He has been run through all the quality assurance tests. He had gone through all the tests. And God was satisfied. And God decided to mass produce. So he did it. And the good thing with this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know that with any product. Let's take a car, for example. You've seen it happen. When they mass produce out of the one that the prototype car, often they still recall. You know that? They will recall some cars back and say, you know, it has some defect. They recall. When God wanted to mass produce you and I, he didn't mass produce us outside Christ. He mass produced us inside Christ so that there will not be any defects. You didn't hear me. He didn't mass produce us outside Christ so that there will not be a recall. So he must produce us inside Christ. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. He must produce you and I inside of Christ. So that there will never be any recall. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Celebrate the Lord this morning. We were all must produce inside of Jesus. So we are seated in Christ. You are not seated with Christ. You are seated in Christ in the heavenly places, far above the witches in your village. You are seated because you must produce in Him. So you are seated. As you are sitting, God is not seeing you, He's seeing Christ. In him, not by him, not with him, in him, because he must produce us inside of him. Ah, your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. I say your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. So you and I are seated in Christ, not outside of Christ, not added to Christ. We are seated in Christ. So as he is, so are we. Not as he was, because we are in him. So as he is over there, see this Bible. As he is, so are we. So any devil rises up to tell you, we will teach you a lesson. Ah, they've chosen the wrong candidate. Teach you a lesson? You're not mortal. You're a spirit. How do you teach a spirit a lesson? They tell her, I'll teach you a lesson. You know, you're running around. Let me go and open a case. Open case. Present them in heaven. Summon them. You decide, hold a meeting in the night. I say, hey, when I come, I heard you said you want to teach me a lesson. Let's have some tete-a-tete. You decide the matter and close it and move on with your destiny. Teach you a lesson. You are in him. For anybody to teach you a lesson, they must pass through him to touch you. And the one that will pass through him has not been born. Therefore, I declare in the name of Jesus, you are not going down in the name of Jesus. I say nobody will bring you down in the name of Jesus. Anywhere they are plotting to bring you down, I scatter their plot and plan in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So you are in him as he is over there, so are you. So child of God, we are the beloved son of God. You are the beloved son of God. The favor of God is on your life. The grace of God is on your life. God loves you more than the devil hates you. God is not mad at you. He is madly in love with you. You are the object of his desire. He died for you, then also died as you. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he was resurrected, you resurrected with him. Now you are seated in heaven. You are seated in heaven with him, far above the forces of hell and darkness. So what the Father can do, you can do also. Why? Because the Father lives on the inside of you. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If he stopped there, there would have been some confusion. Christ liveth in me. Some of you will have thought he's spiritual living in you. He said, no. And the life which I now live in the flesh, here on the earth, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. So the life you're not living, you are living here now, is no longer your life. You're living his life. You are living his life. Lift your voice and thunder, thank you, Jesus. Does God have favorite children? No, sir. No, ma. Because we all are the beloved of the Lord. You are not just a son of God. You are the favorite son of God or favorite child of God. God have said yes to you, and it is your revelation now, or revelation of what your Father has done, that makes you the favorite child of God. I know in whom I believed him, I know in whom I believe then, that I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. And they that know their God, not they that know the prophet, they that know their God, not they that they called out their phone numbers, they that know their God, not they that they tell you, you live in number 22. Don't you know where you live? They that know their God, not those that have stickers, they that know their God, not those that sleep with salt underneath their bed, they that know their God, not those with water from Jerusalem, they that know their God, not those with oil from where Jesus died, they that know their God. And I hope you know those pilgrimage you go to in Israel. That's not where Jesus died, though. It's a tourist site. I hope you know that. So you can go for tourism, it's fine. There's nothing wrong. So, you know, and I just stepped where Jesus stepped. My friend, stop, don't do this to yourself. I've seen people, adult believers who have been born again for donkey years, they go to Israel and say, I want to be baptized again. In the water that Jesus was baptized. A whole you. Such level of ignorance. In the water that Jesus was baptized. Who told you that the water is still there? You're going for tourism. Go for tourism. It's fine. And enjoy Israel. And come back home. But don't tell me I stepped on where Jesus stepped on. Don't do this, please. Stop doing all this. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you are looking at me. I just bust your bubbles right now. Amen. Forgive me. They that know their God, they shall do what? Do exploit. They are strong. They are do exploit. I prophesy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2026, you are strong in the name of Jesus. Do exploits in the name of Jesus. In this year of supernatural shift, I announce over you, do exploits in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Thunder, I don't have daddy issues. I know I am the beloved son of God. Give the Lord your praise this morning. You are Abba's favorite. You are your heavenly father's son. You are his daughter. Even when you are in a difficulty, because you are his child, he will rescue you out. I don't know what situation you are in. I prophesy, receive your rescue in the name of Jesus. The Lord brings you out in the name of Jesus. Out of that issue in the name of Jesus. Out of that demonic attack in the name of Jesus. Out of that sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hey, I am my father's child. David speaking in Psalm 23 verse 4. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil. Why? He is with me. Thunder, God is with me. Thunder, God is with me. Thunder, God is with me. The faithfulness of God, hear me friends, is not predicated on the behavior of the believer. It is predicated on the personality of who he is. He is faithful. He is faithful. Even when we deny ourselves, the Bible says he will not deny himself. If his faithfulness is predicated on your behavior, he's in trouble. Not you, he's in trouble. Because every time you behave well, he's faithful. Imagine all of us. So God will have just been jumping into faithfulness, unfaithfulness anyhow. You know, why Joseph is behaving well, he's faithful. Cordelia is not behaving well, he's unfaithful. So he's confused. We will have a bipolar God. Who today? One moment is, imagine all the Christians in the world with all the craziness we display as Christians. So he will just be jumping in and out of faithfulness. One moment he's faithful. As he's trying to recover from being faithful, he enters into unfaithfulness. But his faithfulness is predicated on his personality. When we deny him, he will not deny himself. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus was in baptism and something happened. Let me show you something quickly. Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So here Jesus, when you listen to this statement, God said, this is my beloved son, in whom, the key word there is, I am well pleased with him. I'm well pleased with him. And here, when you notice very well, Jesus had not raised the dead. He had not multiplied fish and bread. He had not healed the sick. He had not gone to the cross yet. So this belovedness of God was not a function of performance. This was actually the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So ever before Jesus healed the first sick person, did any miracle, preached any sermon, healed any sick, raised any dead, walked on water, multiplied bread and fish, God already said, I am well pleased with him. His performance is not what is making me pleased. It is not because Jesus walked on water, I'm not pleased with him. No. He said, this is my beloved son. I am well pleased with him. Well pleased with him. And do you know the reason why most of us don't see ourselves as the beloved child of God? It is because our parents only say to us, we are beloved when we have done something good. Oh, you need to come to award ceremony in our schools. Hey, Wanaka! You know, we now call Joseph Wokocha as well, I'm trying to remember, most improved. The mother, Joe Wanaka! 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 Boa! 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 And my question is, was he not Wanaka before the award? You all do it. I see some of you. You're screaming. Wanak. There's nothing wrong in doing that. Are you hearing me now? There's nothing wrong in doing, absolutely nothing wrong in doing that. But I'm trying to tell you, we now come with that mindset with God. Because we are only well pleased with our children when they perform well. So when they're not performing well, they are really not the beloved. But when they perform well, we are screaming. But God is saying, you are still Wanaka. Even when you mess up, you are Wanaka. Even when you don't mess up, you are Wanaka. When you do it good and do it right, when you also don't do it right, you are still not Wanaka. Because you being my Wanaka is because I chose to give birth to you. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So God is saying, I don't need you to perform for you to be beloved son. I don't have to do everything so that, you know, God is saying, I have done everything, rather, so that you can be my beloved son. I've done everything so that you can be my beloved son. So God is saying, I don't need you to perform to be my beloved. I have performed to make you my beloved. So the belovedness of God is premised on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he screamed, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did you abandon me? Jesus screamed, my God, so that you and I can scream, my Father, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for accepting me. Hallelujah. Jesus took our place and gave us his position. He suffered in your place. So that you are released. And I declare, whatever has kept you down, I release you in the name of Jesus. I say you are released in the name of Jesus. Understand that your suffering is not a currency in the spirit. Because some believers think that their suffering is a currency in the spirit. You know, he now puts on you the mantle of giant. You know, I'm a giant by the thing I've suffered. Keep suffering. Keep suffering. Since suffering has become a mantle in the spirit. Suffering is not a currency. You know, say, after you have suffered a while, small time, you go through, then you come out of it. 30 years now, you're still suffering. And you're boasting that, you know, none of these things I'm going through because I'm a spiritual giant. Hey, when I come back, you're not any spiritual giant. Arrest that foul devil. Tell him, Satan, get thee behind me. I rebuke you. Get your filthy hands off my finances. Get your filthy hands off my business. Get your filthy hands off my life. Get your filthy hands off my children's life. Devil, thus far have you come, you go no further. Now, I command you, vacate. Come out. Give the Lord your praise. Amen. Listen, friends, God is not a deity that needs to be appeased. He is a loving Father who is already well pleased. Let's go back to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 1 to 3. We read Matthew 3. Let's read Matthew 4. I want to show you something there. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, when people say, you know, Jesus said we should no longer fast. Jesus fasted 40 days. If the master fasted 40 days, who are we not to fast? Amen. Wednesday is fasting. Observe a fast. Amen. Jesus fasted 40 days, 40 nights. He was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, take note of those statements. Command that these stones be made bread. The tempter said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Question, bringing Jesus to question his identity. Remember, that was the same thing he did to the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. He brought the first Adam to question his identity. He was repeating the same thing again with Jesus, who is the second Adam. He didn't say if he even in the midst of it, he omitted something. He didn't say if you are the beloved Son of God. He said if you are the Son of God, he removed the beloved. The devil removed it. And that is what he's still doing today. Till today, he wants the believer to feel like that they are not special. The word beloved is what made Jesus special. The devil wants the believer to always feel inferior. So he held back. The devil held back the beloved because Satan is a con man. He's a con artist. He's a con artist. Friends, do you know that the opposite of scripture or opposite of truth in scripture is not blatant lie? The opposite of truth in the Bible is not blatant lie. The opposite of truth in the Bible or in scripture is deviation of truth. So Satan just removed the beloved. And him doing that was completely messing up the truth. Because Jesus is the beloved Son of God, not just Son. And we saw that in Matthew chapter 3 when the voice spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Friends, you're not just a son, you are the beloved Son of God. And do you know that, you know, as your pastor, I can't take that from you. Nobody can take that from you. I didn't give it to you. Nobody gave it to you. So nobody can take it from you. You are the beloved Son of God, full stop. Whether I like it or not, you are the beloved Son of God, full stop. And when Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn this bread to stone. He was trying to refer to the first Adam. When you study the genealogy, Luke chapter 3, put only verse 38 for me on the screen. Look at verse 38. Verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So he was referring to Adam, the son of God. Because he wanted to bring Jesus to the first Adam. The first Adam was the son of God. The second Adam was the beloved son of God. So he was tampering with the truth. So that Jesus can have identity crisis. And Jesus said, you can't confuse me. I know who I am. Hallelujah. He was trying to insult Jesus when he made that statement. He was trying to reduce him to the first Adam. Hear me, child of God. You are the beloved Son of God. God doesn't love Jesus more than he loves you. He loves you the same way he loves Jesus. Let's read. First Ephesians chapter 1 quickly. Verse 5 to 6. Let's all read together. Online as well. Put it for those who are online as well. Let's all read together. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 5 to 6. TPT translation. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 5 to 6. TPT translation. TPT translation. Are you ready, everybody? At the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, go. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. Oh, I love that. Delightful children. Let's continue. Through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us will glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. For the same love he has for his beloved Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. It gives him joy. He says, this love he has for Jesus, the same love he has for Jesus, he has for you. And he said, and I am well pleased. I love it. It gives me pleasure. Me loving you gives me pleasure. It gives me pleasure. Him loving us should bring us should bring us pleasure. But instead, he said, him loving us brings him pleasure. Shouldn't it be the other way around? He said, him loving you and I gives him pleasure. Then 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. 1 John 4, 10 now says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He wanted to display his love. He sent his son for our as a sacrifice for our sin. We love God because he loved us first. Child of God, receive his love. Receive that love. He loved you first so that you can love him in return. I didn't give birth to my children and expect them to love me first. No, I loved them. Then out of the love they have received from me, their father, they're able to dispense it back to me. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. You love him because he loves you. You receiving God's love is God's love language. You receiving his love is his love language. Child of God, love God with Jesus' love language. Receive that love. You are as loved as Jesus is loved. And that is why when we preach the gospel, we don't only preach forgiveness of sins, we also preach that life has been given to us, or life has been given to the person. So when you arrive in the court of heaven and mercy said no to the judgment you deserve, grace now said yes to the life you do not deserve. Are you following me? So the gospel message is that God brought us out and took us in. The gospel will be incomplete if we only preach that God brought us out without ever preaching that he brought us in. Why? Because he took us out not to leave us in the limbo. He took us out to bring us in. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and after delivering us, he didn't leave us there. The Bible said he now conveyed us. He brings you out to bring you in. He brings you out of poverty to bring you into prosperity. He brings you out of sickness to bring you into healing. He brings you out of nobody to bring you into somebody. He brought us into the kingdom of his love. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So the message of the gospel is, he brought you and I out, then took us in. He walked you and I into the blessedness of everything Christ has for you. We are not ashamed of this gospel. We are not ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He died for you and he died as you. When he was buried, you were buried with him. When he resurrected, you resurrected with him. Now you are seated with him in dominion. Thunder, I don't have daddy issues. Acts 20 verse 32 now says, so now brethren, I commend you to this God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 now comes and tells us this, you are a chosen generation. Child of God, you have been chosen. And I declare, no devil will unchoose you in the name of Jesus. I say, no circumstance will unchoose you in the name of Jesus. No situation will make a mockery of you being chosen in the name of Jesus. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out. Didn't leave you there. He brings you in to his marvelous light. Thunder, I am light. I didn't hear you. Thunder, I am light. Thunder, I am light. Didn't bring you out of darkness and left you in the shadows. He brought you out of darkness, then took you into his marvelous light. Then he now continued. 1 Peter chapter 2, now verse 10 now says, who once we were not a people, before you were a non-entity, but now by his mercy, you are a some entity. Put it in your dictionary. Add that one to your dictionary. You are nobody. He said, before we were once not a people, but are now. We are not just people, we are the people of God who had now obtained mercy. I am not looking for mercy. I have mercy. That is why every morning I lead you, receive the mercy of God. By the blood of Jesus, we now have mercy. We now have mercy. I declare over you every satanic judgment hanging over your life, I cancel it by the mercy of God in the name of Jesus. You have mercy. You have mercy. Mercy has already prevailed over judgment in your life. Therefore, no judgment can come on you, can come on your family, can come on your business, on your career, in the name of Jesus. Judgment can never come on you. Why? Because God has released mercy over you. When judgment comes, judgment sees the mark of the blood of Jesus on your life. And judgment passes you by. And I declare, everywhere you go after now, goodness and mercy will be running after you in the name of Jesus. Goodness and mercy will be waiting for you in the name of Jesus. Goodness and mercy will overtake you and run over you in the name of Jesus. Romans 5:18. Go with me. And I said, here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all in all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. He now said, oh my people, can you see what I'm seeing? He now said, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? He said, but more than just getting us out of trouble. What did he do? Please read now. What did he do? He got you into what? Into what? Do you know what that life is? That is the way. Life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Give the Lord your praise this morning. He didn't just get us out of trouble. He got us into life. So salvation is, I came out of sin, I came out of death, I came out of darkness, and now I've entered into his life. So now his life, you now have his life. And that has made you his beloved child. Hallelujah. Let me show you the last, something here as we close. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 1 to 7. You know, this is where I believe most believers have missed it. As I said earlier on, we've preached this and said, you know, when you get born again into childhood. And now you grow into sons. I've preached it. Limited knowledge. Limited revelation. Now you grow into sonship. That's why you keep studying. Because if you don't keep studying, your eyes will never open. Growing to sonship, then you can. You know, I used to ask myself, when will I know I've entered into sonship so that I can be a heir to take what belongs to me? Because it's not as if there's anything for me to measure that I've entered into sonship. It used to get me confused. But recently, God began to show me this. New King James Version says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guidance and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, we are in bondage under the elements of the world. Take note of that. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Please give Jesus praise on that verse. So, verse 1 and verse 2 of Galatians chapter 4, which we have preached the spiritual growth on, is actually an illustration, not a description. We built a doctrine out of an illustration. Here, he was describing our past. That is, before we became born again, before you become born again. Then he said, when the fullness of time came, fullness of time was the time of salvation. Now, through salvation, he now said, you have received the adoption of sonship. TPT translation, only verse 1. Only verse 1. He said, let me illustrate. So that wasn't a description. That was an illustration. How come we are built on an illustration? Paul said, for example. He said, let me illustrate. As long as a hair is a minor, he's not really more different than. He is not saying that you are a minor. That's not what he's saying. He's giving an example. He now said, you are a minor when you are not born again. When you are not born again, you're a minor, you're a slave, you have no access to inheritance. But when you get born again, you are born into sonship. Let me give you an example. Today is Zoe's birthday. My daughter's birthday, 21 years old. She turned 21 today. Please, let's give Jesus praise. She's turning 21 today. Zoe, imagine the first day I gave birth to Zoe. And I said to Zoe, Zoe, now, the day she came out and was crying, I said, now, Zoe, you are born now as a child. You must now grow into becoming the daughter of Joseph. And before then, you don't have any access to my inheritance. So I'll be waiting for you to grow into becoming Joseph's daughter. No. When Zoe was born, the very moment she came out, she was born as Joseph's daughter. And when she grows as Joseph's daughter. She doesn't grow into Joseph's daughter. She is born as Joseph's daughter, Cordelia's daughter, and grows. My friend, you are born into sonship. You grow in sonship. You don't grow into sonship. Already, you are a heir. You already have inheritance. The day you got born again, you became a heir. Why? Because you were born into sonship. Collect what belongs to you. So there's no, like, you're born a child. Then, you know, you got to grow. When you don't grow, you grow. I say you grow. Make sure you grow. Because when you're not growing, you ain't gonna grow. And you're not here. My friend, don't be so. The day you were born again, born into sonship, you became a heir. Instanta, you became a heir. You have access to your father's inheritance. Now, as you are growing spiritually, you are growing in sonship. You are not growing into. I announce over you, whatever tormented you before now is destroyed in the name of Jesus. I release you in the name of Jesus. Walk in your dominion in the name of Jesus. Walk in your prosperity in the name of Jesus. Enjoy your victory in the name of Jesus. Your business prospers in the name of Jesus. Anyone that rises against you, they fall for your sake in the name of Jesus. Give me three powerful amen. 2, 3. Don't I am a son. I don't have daddy issues. Give the Lord your praise this morning. You are born in. He was giving an illustration. Say, now that you're not born again. When you're not born again, you don't have, you're not a son. You're still a minor. Put the remaining verse for me as I read. For until the time appointed by the Father, the child is under the domestic supervision of the guidance of the estate. So it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved. Did you see that? So he was careful so that you don't confuse it and say, when we were juvenile, maybe there was a time you were juvenile as born again. No, he said, we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. But when the time of fulfillment had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus lived under the law so that he could destroy the law. Born under the law. Yet all of this was so that he will redeem. Now you are redeemed. Set free those who held hostage to the law so that we will receive our freedom and a full legal adoption. Full legal adoption. You were not adopted criminally. You were adopted legally. as his children, and so that we will know that we are his true children. God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, "My Father, my true Father." Now we are no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we are his, how many of his are in the house? Are you his? Are you sure you are his? Then listen to what it said. We can access everything our Father has, for we are his because of what God has done. I can access healing. I can access victory. I can access breakthrough. I can access. Child of God, you're no longer a slave. You must enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because you are his, you can access everything. Not some things. Everything your Father has, you have access to it. And because you are his, you have access to inheritance. And you are a heir because of what God has done. Let's read verse 7. Like an army. Only verse 7. I didn't do this in the second service. Only verse 7. I want us to read it together. Are you ready? At the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Let's go. Being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we are his, we can access everything our Father has. For we are his because of what God has done. You are here not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary. Child of God, you are a son of God. You have complete access. You are not a friend of God. You are a son of God. You are a heir. You are not a friend. You are a heir. You are a son. You are not the bestie of Jesus. You are not Jesus' bestie. No, no, no. You're not a friend of God. We sang the song. Yes, there's, you know, a song. We can sing songs. But in the light of exegesis of scriptures, we are not friends of God. We are sons of God. I'm not Jesus' bestie. Amen. Are you hearing me now? Jesus didn't save you to make you his bestie. Amen. No. You are a friend. You are a son of God, not a friend. And when Jesus walked the earth, he said to his disciples, listen, because I know a scripture is coming to your head already. He said to his disciples, "I will no longer call you servants, but friends." They were graduating. While he was on the earth, he said, "Now, because you're working with me, you're no longer servant, you're now my friend." And the reason was because he has not yet died. When he died and resurrected, John 20:17, put on the screen. When he died and resurrected, he canceled out the friendship issue. He said, Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, your Father. My Father, your Father." He is no longer your friend. He is now my Father, your Father. My Father, your Father. My God, your God. So he canceled out the friendship. Now that I'm dead, I've resurrected, you all are no longer friends. You are now sons of God. He is my Father and also your Father. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Sonship has been given to us. You are in Christ justified. He is in you glorified. As he is over there, so are you in this world. You have all the possibilities of God on the inside of you. Child of God, listen to me. You have no limitations. You have no boundaries. Therefore, I declare over you, go and prosper in the name of Jesus. Rule in your industry in the name of Jesus. Take over that office in the name of Jesus. Take over that territory in the name of Jesus. Become all that you are called to be in the name of Jesus. I prophesy you have made it in this season in the name of Jesus. Be healed in your body in the name of Jesus. Be healed in your mind in the name of Jesus. Be healed in your destiny in the name of Jesus. Whatever kept you down has released you in the name of Jesus. Go up and higher in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like thunder. Give the Lord your praise. Your DNA has changed. His DNA is on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are in him. and is in you all at the same time. No weapon. I say no weapon fashioned against you. No sabotage. Anybody planning to sabotage you? They have chosen the wrong candidate. I command their plans scattered by fire in the name of Jesus. I overturn their lives in the name of Jesus. Anyone that wants to put you in trouble, I declare they fall into the trouble in the name of Jesus. Anyone that wants to disgrace you, they are disgraced in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. You're a son. You're not a servant. You don't have daddy issues. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are in him. He's also in you at the same time. I didn't hear your amen. His life is at work in you. All things are not possible for you. Why? Because all things are possible with him. In Christ, you can do more. Child of God, I say you can do more. I say get ready, you will do more. I say get ready, you will do more. I say get ready, you will do more. Get ready for celebration. Get ready for jubilation. Celebration after celebration. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Because you are a son, receive celebration after celebration in the name of Jesus. There is something common about sonship, celebration. Celebration. When the prodigal son arrived, they said the dude that knows how to enjoy life, he's back. When he arrived, the father said, bring out the fattest calf. Because sonship is celebration. Bring out the fattest calf. Let's kill and enjoy. I can imagine all the servants in the house asking themselves, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What is Oga celebrating today? One comes and says, the younger brother is back. The son is back. Say, which one? You know the one that knows how to celebrate. Not that other one. The one that knows how to celebrate. He's back. Say, he's back. That means enjoyment has started again. Because sonship is filled with celebration. I declare your days of sorrow are over in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. Some of you are looking at me stone dated. I said, I declare your days of sorrow are over in the name of Jesus. Receive celebration after celebration in the name of Jesus. Your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. Give me three powerful amen. Two, three. Thunder, I don't have daddy issues. Give the Lord your praise. And hear me. Prize it and bill it to your father. Bill it to him. Prize your marital destiny. Bill it to him. You know, nobody ever gets married in our family. That is how it is. Which family are you talking about? Because now you are in a new family. Please give the Lord your praise this morning. Prize it. Bill it to your father. Your father, have you ever taken your children? Those of you who have children, you take your children to the shops. You're in trouble. Particularly when they're still young. Even now that they are not still young, Daniel, you know, taking Daniel to shop is, you are signing up for some dangerous activity. At least Zoe is calm. Daniel, oh my God. As you take her, you are trying to shop for yourself. She's already shopping for herself. While you are at it, she keeps it on the table and walks away. Like, if you like, leave it there. If you like, pay for it. But anyway, I want to see it at home when I get home. Have you taken your children to the shop? And they see that chocolate, they take it. You try to stop them, they embarrass you with screaming. Ah! Everybody turns at you. Like, where now? Buy chocolate for this. So you feel embarrassed. Next you say, take. They are buying it and billing it to you. They didn't bring themselves to the world. You brought them. My friend, you didn't choose yourself. He chose you. 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 And because he chose you, he will take care of the bill. Prize it. Bill it to him. And watch him do great things in your life in this season. Give the Lord your praise. Let's go home tonight, this morning. Rise on your feet and let's go home. Who is ready to pray this morning? Are you ready to ask God for some impossible things? Are you ready to buy it with your mouth and bill it to God? Because he's your father. He's in charge.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.